Hello and welcome to Seabase Late Night. It's almost 11. My name is Uk. I'm the communications officer here at Seabase. And if you've watched the Fahrplan closely, you might have noticed that someone else should have been in my place today. So Dimitri Kleiner should have been here. He became ill a few days ago and couldn't be here, so I'm standing in for him right now. Dimitri, if you're watching this, get well soon. Today's topic here at Seabase Late Night is device control as a fetish. And my guest today is a real-life virtual tech dom. Please welcome with me the queen of device and phone control, Goddess Anissa. Thank you for being here with us. This is your first public appearance, as I hear. Thanks for being with us here at Seabase Late Night.
Thanks for having me.
So, I'm thinking the question that most people have out there is, what does a tech dom do, actually?
I was wondering if the name explains itself a bit. Basically, I dominate men through their devices. I mean, the profession of a dominatrix is not new. Device control is a quite new fetish. I say it started in California in 2013. And yeah, so basically I get paid for breaking into devices as computers, phones, home networks, social media accounts even. Basically the more the technology develops, the more opportunities are for tech kinky play.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit what typical things you do to your subs?
It's really hard to say what's typical because the variety is endless. And whenever I think it's starting to repeat, there's something new coming. But there are some, even within, I mean, it's a super niche fetish we are talking about, but even within that super, super niche, are some trends, such as TeamViewer, for example. So some people get aroused when they even hear or read the word TeamViewer because they are thinking of tech domination. Or when they don't know much about it and they're looking for it on the internet, they are not looking at Google, but they will search on Twitter and they will search for TeamViewer, device control, tech dominatrix. And I often ask myself, or maybe I should ask TeamViewer directly if they are aware of their fame in certain target groups.
So can you walk us through like some of the things that you do during a session, like maybe like talking from like a beginner perspective, so for someone who first contacts you online, so people come to you online and ask you to do these things to you. So what do you usually like do?
Right. I mean, the very first thing that I do is talk about what they like about their experience level, what they want to experience. Very important, what their personal boundaries are. I'm very suspicious of people who say they don't have boundaries. That tells me they're actually beginners. And then I still try to find it out. So basically, we do a setting for a play. Then I want the person, of course, I want to have a very clear chat that the person has consented, and after the person has paid for this to happen, then we do what we agreed on, basically. And I mean, sometimes, of course, it might lead to the person is really enjoying it and we are going to continue it and do more stuff.
Like, can you go into a little bit of the details? What are you doing exactly?
I'm sorry.
Things you're doing on...
Right, yeah, sorry.
You're not sitting on someone's computer, to the internet.
I'm sitting at my room. Someone is interested in having a TeamViewer session. Yeah, that implies that the person has a TeamViewer or any desk on their computer, and I have that as well. And the first step would be that we connect, and that is already a moment of excitement. There is someone, as you can imagine, there is someone else on my computer, which to most people is super frightening. For some people, it's exciting. My clients.
And then you go, like, you go through the browser history, or you go look into, like, the secret folders.
That really depends on what we what we talked about as preparation. Like, when they say, "Oh, do you are you going to snoop around?" And then, "Yes, I'm going to snoop around." And then there are probably folders hidden in the computer, but they're hidden in an obvious way with photos they might find. I find hardly anything embarrassing, but it's photos that are supposed to be embarrassing that I'm going to find and comment in a way like, "Oh, look what I found there." So
yeah, so it takes screenshots. Do you lock people? You lock people out of their computer?
If that's what they ask for, they're going to get that. I mean, for example, if you like one thing, you always want to go to the next level. So on TeamViewer, I might set myself my own password, go to the advanced option and change the settings, which still can be undone if they are still the admin. So I better make myself admin on the computer, make them standard user. Then they can't do the TeamViewer. Then they can't change the TeamViewer settings anymore. And from there on, I have access to their computer at any time I want, which, again, most, like 99.9% of the people find scary. Some people find it super hot. And
that's like, do you think your subs like feel like their devices are some kind of like part of their body, like intimate part of their
I was their body? Asking myself that question a lot, because I mean, I certainly enjoy what I'm doing. I think it's a great job, but I always, I thought, is this how do they get pleasure from something that happens to their computer? I was like, okay, people obviously merge with their devices. I mean, many people have a very attached feeling towards their phone, and when they have misplaced it or they know they forgot it somewhere, they experience phantom pain. So it kind of makes sense to my understanding that it might also be connected with arousal.
Okay, and do you feel like you are transgressive to these people?
I don't feel transgressive towards these people at all. Like, I would, if this would be done to a partner, kids, employees, I would find that super transgressive, because it's going to be used when an employer uses it on their employee, it's not really consensual, because what can the employee say? I don't want it, I take another job, you are in a bad situation. So I find these apps, like when they are used in other contents than I am using them, I find it transgressive, but I don't find transgressive what I do, because I do consensual play amongst adults.
Yeah, and how do you make sure everything is actually consensual? Like, how do you make absolutely sure that
it's always the same? It's communication. Communication is key, and sometimes we either communicate through chat. Some even prefer to see me on Skype while doing that. So I always say, okay, the next step is going to be this. I'm going to do that. Are you fine with that? They might ask questions, and that is also from what I know. I mean, there are some subs that have been with me since I started this, and this is exactly what they really appreciate and value, that I tell them what's going to happen, and it's exactly what's going to happen that is important. It's only my personal...
You charge them. There's a contract in this case.
But there is there is of course no written contract, because the guy gets online at night. He has the idea it might be something to try out. So the contract is the chat, where you say, let's do this and that, and it will cost you this and that. They pay, and then you fulfill your part of. I will basically do as promised. And
yeah. Okay, let's take a step back and look at how you became what you are today. So did you have any previous involvement in things like BDSM at all?
I'm definitely not an active member of the very versatile Berlin BDSM community, but I grew up in Berlin, been living here for decades, And the city has always been very kink friendly, and some people from abroad even call it capital of kinks. And also when they hear about my job, they're like, oh, this is only possible in Berlin. I think the nice thing about my job is you can do it anywhere. That's so great about it. But I mean, Berlin gives me definitely a very open-minded surrounding, so that does feel great. When going out, like the late 90s and stuff, the kink scene was also super present, and there were, it was more like a playful context, but I would say there is BDSM relationships that go far beyond the typical cliches what people think. You know, like when people hear BDSM, they think of shiny, shiny rubber and leather stuff, and people beating each other up. But I think it's also a lot about communication, relationship structures, even tech domination. So I think there's a lot, there's a lot of other aspects that are involved in BDSM than the very obvious.
Yeah.
What you see. So.
And like from this point, how did you get into this line of work?
Like what I do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does have a bit to do with my background, because the background of Berlin brought me that openness for sure. Because you need to be open to do it. Otherwise, you know, if you have like, if it would collide with moral standards, it would become difficult. But I actually have a different background of work. I have originally a creative job that I still do and really enjoy doing. I've been working freelance for 20 years, and everybody who's done freelance work in Berlin, most people I know, they went through ups and downs. Like, let's say you have major clients that don't pay or let you hang dry for a few weeks, then it just can get really awful. And there was that moment, or that not just the moment, but there were these moments where eBay Kleinanzeigen, that's like classified ads or like Craigslist, saved my life, because I have a studio and there was always stuff to sell. And the thing is, every woman knows it. Like when you put shoes, any piece of garment, textile, even an exercise ball on classified ads, some guy is going to text you and say, oh, can you take a picture of you wearing the shoes, sitting on that exercise ball? And I was always like, oh no, Pav, leave me alone. I'm not going to take your pictures. And at that point in life where I was super broke and someone on eBay Kleinanzeigen was actually offering me money for taking a picture of me in old shoes, I was like, okay, how much? And we couldn't agree on the price, but the conversation kept my mind. I was like, wow, there are people that are really desperate for photos of used shoes and sitting on exercise balls. And I thought the community of these people must be bigger than the community of eBay Kleinanzeigen people. And I started to look in the internet and I found many, many platforms. And I thought, you know, okay, you know, I will subsidize my lifestyle by selling used items. But that was only a very small aspect, actually, because what I realized very early on is it was not about the used item. It was about the communication and the time spent with a person. Like, no one on the internet buys an item without getting like an idea of it. So I learned that pretty quick, and then I discovered a marvelous universe of fancy kinks, like that I was like really excited to explore. For example, giantess fetish. Has everyone ever heard about that?
Giant, I certainly haven't.
Giantess fetish. Giantess fetish is one of the that in this like 3 years ago, it was one of the fastest growing niche fetishes on Pornhub. It's basically the women is overdimensional and the guy is like pretty tiny. So they call themselves tinies. The ladies are considered giants. And what I found really mind-boggling is it's not a fetish that you can live in real life. It's only an imaginary.
Yeah, it's not a big woman with a very small man.
No, exactly.
Video. It's
yeah,
it's a Photoshop of
very, very
tiny.
For example, yeah, okay. when I had photos on my Twitter, and there was like a giantess fetishist. Interestingly, many of these people they work in computer graphics. I mean, kind of makes sense because they send you like a nice collage they made. So when I put a photo on and they would send me in return because they like the photo, a collage where my feet look super huge and I'm stomping their hometown. No, like that would just be one example. And some people find it exciting.
Okay, and then you dug deeper into the internet, and is there like learning material that you could?
I was really looking for people to talk about it. I mean, of course, my friends love to hear my stories, but it was really hard to get like professional advice. And I thought, well, I'm probably not the only woman on the internet doing that. And I was searching YouTube and I came across a personality that I found super inspiring. I know that many of her videos are controversial, to say the least, but especially her early videos where she explains every fetish, like where it comes from, and if you are an online dominatrix, how to deal with it, basically. So she did a lot of how-to material. And Corona just started. I was staying at home and like doing night classes, you know, like every evening I was going through the videos.
The YouTube University. And
yeah,
maybe
we can show a screenshot of the
YouTube channel. You were talking about earlier. Maybe we can show this on the screen. So you sent me this yesterday and I watched like one or two videos and like, it's really hard. You will probably be very offended. I think it's her personality. You will be really, really offended by what she's saying. Just as a, if you want to get into this, and then you learned about this, and
she does really good advice for how to organize yourself when you get into that kind of field of work. She tells you how to tell good subs away from bad subs, how to recognize abusive behavior in communication very on and so on. She gives really good examples and tells you how to deal with it. And that really helped me in the beginning because, I mean, I'm pretty confident about what I do now, but I certainly wasn't 2 years ago. It was try and error a lot.
And it was still before the pandemic? And did the pandemic have an impact on,
no,
on
it
your...
No, totally. I mean, the pandemic on me had a very positive impact because the world calmed down. I really enjoyed the calming down effect. I had just discovered a new interest where I wanted to spend a lot of... I just wanted to give a lot of attention. And also, I had already started in the fetish world. The business started growing because, you know, people were sitting at home and looking for online things to do. And then also in that time, I came across that field of tech domination. I was amazed. I was like, wow, that's like incredible. And that's like so... It was like science fiction, and I decided I wanted to do it, even though I had like literally no tech background. and I told also one friend, he could hardly believe that I wanted to do that. But I mean, in the beginning, the subs, they really, since there is hardly, the demand is so much higher than the supply, basically the subs who have that kind of fetish, they're absolutely willing to help. So I just, you know, started learning by doing and got better at it over the time.
Yeah. So what parts of the world do your subs come from?
I mean, I think to answer that question is best to visualize it. And I have a homework and research sub who prepared a map for me that we could
maybe show it
on screen. So basically, where you have the bigger red bubbles, you have a higher density and so on. So you notice that there is like a center in like Central Europe, now in Germany. In the beginning, it was more in the US, like Austin, Texas, where it's a big tech scene, but also New York and California, but also Colorado and Missouri, some in Canada, even Australia, Taiwan, Malaysia, neighboring countries in EU. So it's pretty international.
Yeah. And what kinds of like backgrounds and like, what's like the age of yourself?
It's a huge age group. It's mm-hmm. the, I'd say it starts in the early 20s mm-hmm. and it goes up to like mid-60s. Mid-60s.
And what kind of backgrounds?
All kind of backgrounds. I mean, some in their 20s are students, others, there are some that are truck drivers, others work in medicine, there's some retired state officials, people who work in cybersecurity amongst my sub-community. It's very versatile.
Yeah, that is one of the things that surprised me a lot, that there are people out there like work in cybersecurity and in their daytime they work at preventing all these things, and then for fun
I think this is how fetishes develop actually, yeah. Right, the bigger the taboo, the higher the desire. I you know, that would be pretty cliche psychology, but I think
yeah. Okay, now let's get into the details, the technical details, which probably right. most of our audience is very interested in, is what kind of software do you use and what's your experience with that?
I mean, I mainly use the software that is maybe not the best option, but that is most well-known amongst the subs. Like TeamViewer already has a cult status in that mm-hmm. scene. There's also AnyDesk, which I prefer over yeah. TeamViewer. So I use these softwares as remote control to connect to phone or computer. And once there, the next step might be, depending what they agreed on, a parental control. There are a lot of different ones, like Studio and Thalfeld is the kids' mm-hmm. logs, and Thalfeld is the one that I personally like, because with one account you can control two devices, which would mean, for example, if sub has phone and computer, you could control phone and computer and split the screen time and so on.
Yeah.
What I also, I mean, some are also that a recent trend, which wasn't that massive of a trend when I started, is keyloggers are becoming popular. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, goddess, do you install keyloggers?
Okay.
And, when agreed on it, yeah. I do install keyloggers as well.
Yeah, and when we talked before, you also told me about, like, software that actually frightened you?
Yeah, exactly. I thought, okay, I work in that field. I have to keep up with technologies and always looking on Twitter what other ladies do, and some are very inspiring. And then I noticed, oh my God, there's like a new user spy software out that looked really scary. It's a group that are either called M-Spy or FlexiSpy. Mm. And they can be bought in app stores, and I was very surprised to see how far they go. I think it must be like the Pegasus software, but only for users as a market version, because basically when you install it on the phone, you have total surveillance. You can record any surrounding noise, you can use the back and the front camera, you can listen to every phone call, and you can read all the text. So I read, oh my, I was, oh wow, you know, that goes very far. I posted on Twitter that I'm looking for a guinea pig for something new. And of course, there was a line of people queuing up who wanted to do it immediately. And I think if people want to play with that kind of stuff, okay, but what frightens me is that this kind of software is targeted at parents and employers.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's certainly... You don't want something no. I wouldn't want to do.
No, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have any questions, you can ask us questions using IRC. Maybe we can show the the addresses here. So you can ask us questions using the channel rc3-cbase on HackInt, and also you can use the hashtag rc3cbase on Twitter or Mastodon, and our Signal Angels will relay those messages or your questions to us if you have any. Yeah, more questions. We'll get to those later. By the way, have you tried any free or open source software in your field?
I would be totally open to it, but I have been, like, in preparation for this talk, I was looking at how many computers I've been on, and it was like a bit more than 400. And just two of these I remember were Linux computers. So for some reason, the Linux computer isn't the Linux community is not that much into that fetish, but surprise. But I had two users with Linux computers, and I found them a free open source control which is called GnomeNanny. It was. Yeah. So if there is free software and there's a sub with a Linux computer, I'm absolutely open for using it. But
so also, do you use any kind of like specialized hardware?
Yes. I mean, specialized hardware. I'm just thinking about like when you call an item hardware, because interesting it is when you look at the fetishes that are related to device control, right? Mm-hmm. There is a chastity fetish. I don't know if anyone has ever heard about it. Chastity means basically putting your dick in a cage. Google or DuckDuckGo chastity cage and marvel at the variety of items which are made either of plastic or steel. And like in the old-fashioned way would be that you put it on, take the key, you might mail it to my postbox, but you might also meet a mistress and give it to her in person. And then you decide to live in chastity for, I don't know, how long, you know, beginners, people find it hard. Some people find it hard for 8 hours. Some people live in chastity for months. And of course, sometimes the DOMs are far away. And wouldn't it make sense to have a remote control chastity cage? So a few years ago, there was development of a device called Cellmate. So Cellmate is like a cage that can be controlled via app, mm-hmm. and people wouldn't have heard about it if the Cellmate didn't get hacked. So there were people wearing the chastity device, and it got hacked, and they got basically blackmailed. Not only they were in that awkward situation of being in that cage, they also got hacked. And hackers blackmailed them, and it was quite a big thing in the news, and because obviously the support of the company wasn't available for a certain amount of time, and as you can imagine, it frightened people out.
We have a screenshot of an article describing this device here. Maybe we can show this. I'm also hearing that we have some technical difficulties. Maybe is the stream working? Okay. So, So this is one of the device.
Yeah, and, that is exactly that is Cellmate that we're talking about. It looks very technical. Probably from just looking at it, it's really hard to figure what it's about. But it's like a cage. Big world of kinks.
You also order cameras for people, right?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, we didn't talk about the opportunities of home surveillance yet. I mean, some people are like, when you start with device controlling, they might want to expand the fetish, I choose and order them cameras, like one or two per room, and then they put them up in their room, and then I make them buy a safe, and which of course is remotely controlled via app, and then I make them put the car keys in the remotely controlled safe, so they can only use their car by permission. And also, like when I have access to the home network, I change the TV program if I don't like it. I put on the music that I want, tell the sub not to sleep in his bed and rather on the floor, or pick up the dirty socks. So basically, what you do is to give... I mean, obviously, people, instead of being controlled or surveilled by anonymous power, they rather prefer a person doing so, I guess.
Okay.
Just a thought, you know?
Yeah. So I'm think we're done with the questions that we have prepared, and maybe we start getting questions from the internet. But just one question that just came to mind is do most of them ever see your face? Is everything over chat, or do you talk to them, or do you?
It depends on the level. I mean, for a team viewer, they don't need to see my face, yeah. But some, for example, have a foot fetish, and instead of seeing face, they like to see feet while doing mm-hmm. team viewer. But it is possible, but I would normally do that with someone that I get, you know, like normally the first one or two sessions I would just do via chat and then see how things evolve.
Okay. So I'm getting the first questions here. We touched on this like in the beginning just a little bit, but the question is, did you have any legal issues doing this? What ways do you protect against legal issues, and is there a record that you keep?
I know that I could be better at keeping records, and thank you for reminding that I need to improve on that. But of course, I mean, I do have the chats where it's like a list of what we are going to do and what the person is paying for, which is like basically a contract, only that a chat is not really a contract, but nevertheless, it's there. But in the beginning, when I started, I was worried about that a lot. I was like, oh my God. And because it did happen that I upset people and they got angry. And then I thought, well, what are they going to do? They go to their local police officer and tell them, you know, some internet dominatrix, which would mean that they talk openly about their weirdest kinks that no one, which is to most people hard to understand. So I just figured, you know, well, relax about it, because it's very unlikely. It's just very unlikely. Yeah. And I mean, luckily, I've been living in Berlin all my life. And if I probably need legal help, I would somehow get it. So I'm not, I stopped, I had these concerns, these thoughts a lot in the beginning. But I thought the one thing is, it's more important for me to learn communication strategies, like what to do if someone is really annoyed, you know, to like, wait until that moment is over, find out what's behind it, and so on. So, because basically, it's more about like learning de-escalation techniques.
Yeah, there's also like the question about clients' work machines that might have access to like business secrets, trade secrets.
Yeah, so. I mean, from what I saw, it was the private computers, and I mean, I would say that I do have access sometimes to information that I shouldn't have, but I simply don't touch it. So, because it's just not part of it, right? And I think if someone wants a computer takeover and he uses the machine for work, I mean, like what can he, I mean, you know, like I think when I see that there is work files, I will definitely mention it and say, you know, are you sure about this and how should we deal with it? But people who have super sensitive work, they have definitely more than one computer at home, and they use one for play and one for work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think good hygiene to
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
if you're into this. There's a question here about like issues that having access to data that involves like third parties. So I don't know, what if your subs have a family and you record their family on the cameras and things like that?
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I mean, how would I record the family on the camera? I would, you know. Oh, you mean
you install a camera?
No, but I mean, the thing is with the I get it. But the thing is, the people, what I noticed from my experience, the people who do that with the cameras are definitely subs that live on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had the case with third party involved. And I would definitely find that personally a no-go, unless the whole family agreed, a situation that never happened. But thank you for raising awareness in case I see a family.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There are more like questions about like your types of subs and types of customers and. Are your customers mainly nerds or hacker, or are they usually more casual, everyday tech workers?
I think my subs are, of course, nerds. Like, when does someone start being a nerd? I know there's, like, one is a PhD student in mathematics. Is he already a nerd? He's definitely super smart. And I must say that I enjoy the smart subs more than the less smart ones, but...
But we've talked about this before. There's truck drivers.
But there's truck drivers also, and truck drivers, by the way, can also be pretty smart and funny. And so
And also there's a question about like what's the operating OS preference. I think we've touched on that quite a lot. It's mainly Windows computers. TeamViewer on Windows.
Yes.
Similar software.
It's mainly Windows.
Yeah. Have you ever? Did you ever get fooled that you like someone didn't give you access to like the real machine, but like a virtual machine?
No. What actually happens is like maybe some females watch it and they're like, that sounds pretty cool. That's something because I'm sure there are many women out there who have way more tech knowledge already. So. Go for it. but the thing is, the problem in the when you start out is that people try to get you on the computer for free.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want you to pay for it. So the very important technique is make the deal before you actually connect. Because some guys also get off on cheating on you. So basically, when they manage to get you on the computer and they didn't pay, they're already excited enough. So that is...
So it's definitely about making sure that you're getting paid.
Absolutely, people try to trick you they try to manipulate you in every possible way to get, not everyone, but you know, some do. And the longer you are out there, the people start to like when they see that a person is established. The people who fool you, they are after the beginners. So in the beginning, you put up with these, and when you learn the techniques how to separate. The good ones on that, then it kind of works. But it takes time until you learn it.
Mm. So here's a little bit more about the technical challenges. Did you ever have to do some like actual hacking?
When does actual hacking start?
I mean...
Like the guy from...
I mean, if the guy gives you the password to his computer on... or for his remote control software... I wouldn't say that would be hacking, but nobody ever wanted you to actually like hack into their computers, like
if I had the skills, they'd love it, you know. So, so basically, so that would definitely be worth learning,
okay.
Because they'd love it.
So if you have the skills to hack into other people's computers,
in my profession it would. So I mean, the good thing is that when you do it through the remote control, the like way, then you kind of, in case of legal trouble, you have that agreement process. But actually,
Yeah.
The subs would find it super hard.
So did anyone ever ask you to damage their technology in a way that it couldn't be recovered?
Well, yeah, the thing is, I mean, when somebody asked me to install Keylogger, what is he asking for? You know, you can take the damage pretty far. And
yeah, but I think the question is more about like actually breaking things.
Did someone ever ask me that? Like,
can you?
Well, the thing is, I mean, people like sometimes you play the limitation games where you put up the parental control and you reduce the time, but that is still. I mean, the computer is still running, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more about, you know, like doing the like making it the net tighter and tighter and more uncomfortable. So, you know, less internet sites that you can use, less time you have on your computer and so on. So it's about creating constraint, restriction, digital bondage. So kind of so, and then we are again at the question, is there a relation from computer and body?
Yeah. Did you ever use any smart home devices like, home cameras, we definitely talked about curtains, heaters,
I haven't had curtains and heaters. Mm-hmm. I haven't had those one yet, but thank you for inspiring questions. I will because whenever I have an idea of what could be done, I'm just going to look for, you know, but home network, like TV and music, of course, or sometimes, you know, use someone's printer and print out something that
Next question is pretty hilarious. Have you ever considered creating an Alexa skill that allows Alexa to give commands to your user?
Question is awesome, and of course I haven't thought of it, but
you would.
Yeah. But it's definitely
thank,
the idea.
Thank
the
you
idea
for the suggestions. Yes,
awesome question.
Here's a question. I don't know if you want to answer this online. It's about like payment. Are you paid by the hour or by session?
I'm happy to answer that. Basically, you kind of per session, you know, and then I tell the thing is, I'm not a super techie nerd, so sometimes things take longer than expected, or the computer looks different, and then I normally make a session price, but when I also do custom videos, and then of course I charge by, it depends on what I do basically. Yeah. So there are packages, but there's also minutes for stuff and. You know.
Do some clients ask you for some kind of role playing?
Sure.
Someone on the internet is wondering what kind of role play scenarios you could do this with this setup.
I mean, there's just so many role plays. Like, of course, there is like the classical parent-kid situation that you play the strict mommy or the teachers, and often the fetishes is combined with people have like tasks. I mean, I have research and work subs, because many subs are into tasks. They want, it's like, I want something to do in my life. And since I'm always like, I have so much stuff to do always, I'm like, okay, I give you a task, make a map. Or there was some guy in Australia, he was really into long writing tasks. And I was like, well, I'm not an English teacher. I don't feel sufficient to, my English is sufficient to actually grade it. But since he was quite old, I made him write 4 pages about every year he lived in. So that was a big writing task. So a lot of creativity is necessary to come up with tasks. And
Next question we actually answered before in the beginning of the talk. To answer that one, how did you come across the fetish? How you mentioned it's very niche. You got from like sell, you were broke, you wanted to sell stuff on eBay classified.
Exactly.
You got messages from people and you started making money by posting your videos of shoes and
That's where I started, and then the giantess content, then also like okay, whatever. I was really getting into find the nichiest niche and explore it. Like that was definitely the aspect that I enjoyed. And when I came across a tech domination, I was just super fascinated and wanted to learn about it.
Okay, next question is obviously from like a from an expert here. I've got the feeling this fetish is declining. 5 years ago, lots of people on poppen.de were giving access to their systems. Now it's as common. Now it's not as common anymore. Can you confirm that it's losing popularity?
No, I can't confirm because since I started, it's growing. And maybe it, like it was the community that he mentioned. Maybe they had like a short Strohfeuer, you know, that there was like a spark. But since, I mean, what is happening right now is that the people actually have less human interaction. The families are getting smaller. The communities that where people interact are very small. Like one child is brought up by a single mother. The single mother works. The people in the internet become more important than real life person. That inspiring revenge star Persephone, she means the phrase parasocial relationships, which I think many people have with me because they tell me things that they can't tell anyone else. I never kink shame anyone for whatever the fantasy is. So I don't see that niche declining at all. I see it growing and maybe it's changing, it's adjusting because when the technology evolves, the play will change. But I would say it's steep. It's going up.
How is the gender distribution
amongst yourself? Of course, it's mainly male. There are some. I had some transgender people. Like I was accompanying them through in their phase when they were going. I don't know the proper English term, but basically when you go through that phase of changing, which is quite long, women are very rare. I had that twice. Yeah, so I would say 98 male, one transgender or other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if I use the wrong terms.
But predominantly male.
But also transgender and 1% female predominantly.
Okay. Is there any kind of online platform where the DOMs share their experiences?
Twitter is very important for that. Mm-hmm. And also it used to be AVN, but AVN is going, Stars AVN, they're going to demonetize towards the end of the year, which I find really annoying. So basically a community where you find many DOMs, they also interact. The first, I was, when I was a beginner and I was looking at different rooms and sites, I found it quite interesting to see like the front side, like the customer side view of like what the DOMs were posting. And then they had like DOM chat rooms where they were talking about, I don't know, exchanging recipes and stuff. So, but basically like with every stuff on the internet, you find your crowd. So there are some ladies, DOMs that I find very inspiring. They do amazing work. They do speeches. They do research that they publish and give good advice. And that is definitely important.
Yeah.
Because in my immediate surrounding, I have no colleagues, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. So I think one last question is, what are you doing to protect your customers? Like if you got hacked, someone would have access to all these lives, like what is...
Well, the thing is I don't store the information of the subs. You know, I have access, but I don't store it. So if someone hacks my computer that I use for that kind of scenario, there's hardly anything. I mean, what would be there? They see AnyDesk user numbers, but what does it tell them? So I'm not sure if I answered the question sufficiently because I haven't thought about it to the full extent. But I would say, you know, there isn't there is no stuff, there is no personal sub stuff on my computer.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're done. Thank you for being here.
It was super inspiring. Also, the questions from the audience made me think. And thank you so much. Hey, thank you.
And I don't have an idea what the next talk is. Can someone shout what the next talk is on this channel? Yeah.
Ist das richtig hier?
Ja.
Okay. Hallo. Hallo.
You need to kneel down before your
kneel
mistress.
Down. Okay. Yes. All right. I will. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your talk. And so I will switch to German now because the next talk will be in German as well.
Everything is licensed under CC by 4.0 and it is all for the community.
To download for everybody.